Hi, I'm Kate Boyle, and welcome to the Mind Movement Health podcast. Each week, I'll be bringing you health information from diet and lifestyle to movement and nutrition. My aim is to bring you bite-sized pieces of information that you can instigate into your everyday life to change your health. Everyone, and welcome back to the Mind Movement Health podcast. I'm your host, Kate Boyle, and today I'm really excited because we're going to be chatting about how to manage and eliminate lower back pain. Now, I know this topic may be very prevalent for a lot of you. Okay, I work with clients every day that have had lower back pain. I've suffered lower back pain myself, and we're going to delve into some of the stats today too, because it is such a common occurrence. So, diving straight into this week's episode, I want to go into a little bit of the stats and the research. So to start with, a series of research papers from the Australian and international researchers in The Lancet have confirmed that lower back pain is the leading cause of disability globally. Yeah, globally. With more than 540 million people affected by activity-limiting lower back pain at any one time. I'm not sure about you guys, but those sort of facts, they're really astounding that the levels of lower back pain is so high. Now, in Australia, the incidence of lower back pain has doubled in the last 25 years, and the prevalence of the condition is expected to continue to increase with an aging population and also an increasing obese population. The latest stats and research shows us that around 25% of Australians are suffering from lower back pain on any day, and 50% of Australians have suffered some form of lower back pain in the last month. And I will say that probably the most number one complaint that I sort of experience with clients coming into the studio and why they actually make it into the Pilates studio in the first place is because they have some sort of lower back pain. Now, undoubtedly, you know, I see lower back pain all the time with my work. So today I wanted to just help you, you know, if you're suffering with lower back pain, I wanted to go through some things that can help you eliminate it, definitely reduce it. We're going to look at it at the side of, you know, physical at our movement, but we're also going to look at it on a nutritional side as well, and also our mental health. So bringing everything all in and together. So my first tip to really help with reducing and eliminating lower back pain is to move more. Now, this might seem like a really simple tip, and so many people are trying to, these days, make their lives easier, okay? Our lives are easier. We have chairs and desks and, you know, appliances that do everything for us. So generally, we're not bending down like we used to. We're not walking as far or moving as much as we used to. And we're really just not maintaining our range of motion and mobility that enables us to keep our strength and our flexibility so that we avoid this lower back pain. So what I want you to focus on is, rather than avoiding movements, you know, things that might be feel like they're just a little bit too hard to do, that floor is a little bit too far away, I want you to try to lean into them and do more of them wherever it is possible. So adding things in like taking the stairs, doing, you know, squats and lunges and single-sided movements. So maybe that's reaching for things, making sure that you're rotating your body. These are all functional movements, and they're required to help keep us mobile, strong, and injury and back pain free. And they need to be part of our everyday lives. So looking to add those back in wherever you can. Maybe you need to park your car a little bit further away and walk more. Maybe you just need to make sure that you are getting out of your house every day and going for a walk. Maybe you need to make sure that you're bending your knees when you squat down so that you can get clothes into your washing machine or empty the dishwasher, rather than avoiding or trying to get your partner or someone in your house to do that for you. Now, an active body is a strong body, and I know we've all heard that phrase before, move it or lose it, but in this case, it really is true. we need to be moving our body in all directions and really trying to diversify and encourage lots of different ranges of our movement to stay strong and pain-free. Okay, my next tip along these lines of movement is to avoid sitting for too long. Now, we've heard that sitting is the new smoking, okay? We're doing so much more of it, and you know, a lot of it is related back to people's work, whether or not they're sitting at a desk all day or they're driving in a car or a truck. But when we sit for too long, our hip flexors, which are the muscles at the front of our hip joints, they often get really tight and they can sometimes be weak as well. Our glutes and our hamstrings, so the back line of our body there at the top part of our legs, can also get really long and weak as well because they're not getting a lot of use when they're just sitting down. Well, they're not getting any use when we're sitting down for long periods. So this imbalance between the two sides of our body can contribute to the development of back pain. So when we're sitting, we're just going to break this down a little bit more. Our glutes and our hamstrings are just essentially relaxing. They're switched off to a certain extent and they're not doing any work. So they're not getting any strength work. We're not needing to extend the hip like we do when we're walking. And so therefore these muscles just get a little bit weaker and generally a little bit longer in that they just don't have as much tone in them as well. Now, on the flip side of the hip there, we have our hip flexors, and these become really short and tight because at the front of the hip when you're sitting, they're in a slightly contracted position. And a lot of people will often say when they go to stand up out of their chair that their hips will often feel a little bit tight, and maybe the lower back might feel a little bit sore or not so happy as well. Now, what we can do to help prevent this is we can try to minimize our amount of sitting. And if we have to sit, making sure that our chair is adjusted so our hips are slightly higher than our knees. We also want to make sure that our feet can firmly touch the floor, and we want to avoid crossing the legs or causing any imbalance of the hips or the back. And where we can, be sure that we're getting up and moving every 20 minutes or so. This will just help get the muscles activating and moving, and it'll help prevent tightness in the hips and the lower back. So in general, moving really is key, and where we can, we want to just really minimize sitting for long stretches of time. Now, the next point that we can really look to strengthen is our core. Now, I'm sure we've all heard that this, but strengthening your core can help improve your posture. It can help with the efficiency of your movement, so it can help limit undue stress on the body and help reduce the risk of injuries as well as lower back pain. So when we are sitting, we should also be aware of our core. We want to make sure that it's slightly activated, that we're sitting in what we call a neutral position. So we're sitting right in the center of our sit bones, which are those bony landmarks there in the center of your bottom. So if you pop your hands underneath your glutes now, you will feel them there. And we can also strengthen our core by doing body weight exercises. So things like planks and lunges, and as I was talking before, you know, rotating and reaching. These movements that we tend to avoid as we get older, as we get a little bit stiffer or sorer. And we want to start to include as much functional movement patterns as we can. So things like squatting, and then again, those lunges. So when we look across, you know, at some of the Asian countries, and you often see a lot of the older people still squatting down and bending down, it's because they continue to do it. They've made it part of their daily lives. Their body still has that mobility and that joint range to do it. And it's really key in keeping them nice and strong, and again, helping prevent that lower back pain. So these types of movements, they contribute to your core strength, but also your full body strength as well. So your legs, your backs and arms, everything together and working together in harmony is going to be vital with helping prevent that lower back pain. So if you're looking for some help to strengthen your core, or maybe you've suffered some lower back pain and you really find it difficult to know what it feels like to activate your core or how to switch it on, then this is where something like Pilates and maybe working with your Pilates instructor or a rehab professional can really help you connect to your core and also to strengthen your understanding of the core muscles and how to get that activating and switched on. Sometimes you also might find you need to go right back to the basics and learn how to sit and stand again with really great posture and form. And that's one thing I do with a lot of my clients, especially if they've got some sort of chronic lower back pain, is that we start to reteach them how they're sitting down, how they're standing up, how they're getting in and out of their car. So it's these movements that they're doing every day and that's being reinforced every day that's really going to make a difference. And I often have clients that come back in and say, you know, the biggest thing and the biggest game changer was you showing me how to sit properly. So when I go out for dinner, I know that I'm not aggravating my back. Or when I'm sitting at the computer doing some work, again, I know that I'm not going to sort of freeze up. So these small little movements and also these small pieces of information can really make a big difference. Now, moving on, we want to look at exercise. And as we touched on before, we know that movement is great for our lower back. But walking has been proven to be one of the most effective exercises to help reduce lower back pain. Now, what I love about that is that walking is gentle, it's free, it can be done anywhere at any time, and it's a really functional and low-risk way of getting a reoccurring injury. So if you can, again, as we sort of said before, adding in a daily walk, okay, you might even break it into two. If you have been suffering lower back pain, I definitely suggest avoid going out and doing a great big walk. But also remember too that a lot of this information is just general. So I'm not giving out any specific lower back recommendations because I can't see you and I haven't treated your body. But getting back into it, we also want to add in our strength exercises and things like weight training so that we can help to build that strength that's really going to support those muscles on the lower back. Studies have actually shown that we can help eliminate lower back pain and build great strength with weight training. It also will aid in improving your joint mobility, decreasing your fat mass, increasing your muscle mass, and also increasing your functionality or the activity of the muscles in your back and your core. So these are all really great benefits to add in. So walking and some weight training. And if you don't have any experience with weight training before, remember as always to start off gently, work with a professional, but really just getting those functional movements going is going to be very helpful. Now, keeping great form while we do that is also another thing to be aware of. So when we're exercising, we want to think about our body and where it is in space. So this is referring to your proprioception or your body awareness. And it may need a little bit of work if you haven't done any of that before, but it's just about keeping great form while you're moving. Now, sometimes using a mirror so that you can get that feedback can help, or working with a trainer who can correct your form, or just practicing a movement, you know, getting used to that movement and it becoming second nature, then we're going to get added benefits. Now, we all know that if we lift something heavy incorrectly, that it can affect our back. And the same goes just generally with our exercise. If we're not using the correct muscles and keeping good posture or our ideal alignment, we may injure ourselves further or strengthen the wrong muscle groups. So keeping really great form is essential. Now, this may sometimes mean that you do less reps. So it means you do less or a lower amount of the exercise to keep that better form rather than pushing through. But by doing this, you will build strength in the right areas and in the right way, rather than working areas that we don't want to strengthen or that might aggravate your lower back issues further. Now, another thing that we focus on a lot in Pilates and in other sports you might find with yoga and that as well, is to focus on your breath. And this is a really big one. Now, if we're not utilizing our diaphragm and breathing well, then the muscles of the back and the chest can get really tight and sometimes weak. Our diaphragm is part of our core musculature, and good movement of the diaphragm, so getting it to move up and down, helps to keep it balanced throughout the chest and the back. Diaphragmatic breathing can help prevent lower back pain. And you might be thinking, My goodness, I never thought how I breathe was going to affect if I got a back injury or not. But again, our back injuries, it's a little bit of a buildup over time. So, you know, everyone always says, oh, I just bent over and my lower back went. Well, that's, as we say, the final straw. So adding in this diaphragmatic breathing can really make a difference with helping to reduce lower back pain. So when we're not doing diaphragmatic breathing, the fascia and the muscles of the back and the chest can become underutilized. So they become tight and weak. Poor patterns may, with our movement, will start to develop, like rounding forward of the chest and the shoulders, and we might have a reliance on secondary muscles to breathe. So secondary meaning our shoulder and our neck muscles, rather than our diaphragm moving efficiently. And this can affect the way we move. So doing some sort of breath work and connecting to your breath and, you know, really taking a nice deep inhalation, feeling the whole lungs expand, and then really utilizing that exhale and pushing the air out and sort of exploring all of that, whether or not that be through Pilates or yoga, sitting down and just doing some simple meditation or breathing techniques as well, can be really super simple, but a great and effective strategy in helping to prevent and certainly eliminate that lower back pain further down the track. Now, the diaphragm, it directly attaches to your lumbar vertebrae. So your vertebrae are those bones, and the lumbar spine being our lower back. So they're the bones in our lower back. So each time we breathe using our diaphragm, the lower back vertebrae, they move gently. So I like to kind of think of it a little bit like seaweed sort of blowing in the wind. As our diaphragm is gently moving up and down, those lower back vertebrae are just gently moving as well. Now, this movement stimulates blood flow to the area, to the lower back, and it also allows for a really good range of movement. Its regular deep breathing can help to keep the spinal vertebrae in alignment as well. So this is just functionally how diaphragmatic breathing can help keep our lower back pain eliminated, but also keep our lower back healthy. Now, finally, this type of breathing, it's been linked to down-regulating our nervous system, so our parasympathetic system, which is our rest and digest state. So if your back pain is caused by stress, okay, or stress is a contributing factor to the pain, which generally it will be, even just being in pain will cause you extra stress, then just using this diaphragmatic breath can help you reduce your stress and potential lower back pain. Now, this type of breathing, it also stimulates a gentle massage of the internal organs. So again, if stress is a big part of the problem contributed to your back pain, or if there's referred pain, so a lot of the times, you know, you may be really tight in, we'll just say, in the shoulders and the neck, which is changing your posture, which is changing your alignment, and then you're getting referred pain to that lower back. By connecting to your breath and doing some breathing techniques, you may find that lower back pain just starts to dissipate because you're changing your breath pattern, you're relaxing your shoulders and the neck, and you're not getting that referred pain anymore. So how do we breathe with our diaphragm? How do we really utilize it? That is the question. So what I want you to do is focus on a three-dimensional breath. And what I mean by that is breathing in through your nose and really visualizing your lungs filling up with air in all directions like a balloon. Then as you start your exhale through the nose, I want you just allow that air to just gently escape. So visualize your lungs or that balloon just gently deflating, just slowly and gently until all that air has been expired. Now you can play around with the length of your breath. So that means inhaling maybe for a count of five, but then exhaling for a count of five. And you can work to extend your exhale to maybe seven or eight counts. But just being aware of our breath patterns, what we're doing when we're stressed with our breathing, how our breath may change in different situations. You know, if we're in pain, if we're tired, can have a really major effect on our posture and ultimately our pain levels or our lower back pain. Now, last but not least, I wanted to touch on eating a healthy diet and how that can help us with lower back pain. Now, generally, if we can stick to that healthy diet, we're going to be sticking to a healthier weight. And when we are overweight, okay, we generally have extra load. So that weight that we're carrying puts extra pressure on our joints, which can lead to premature wear and tear and just quicker degeneration of our joints in general. So many times people will blame their lower back pain on an old injury, generally on getting older, okay, or maybe doing something that they're not used to doing, like, you know, they hurt their lower back because they were lifting something heavy. And that can definitely, you know, have an effect for sure. But according to the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke, our chances of lower back pain incidence is increased when we are overweight or obese. It does this by increasing the load on our joints, as we were sort of saying before, also by shifting our center of gravity forward. So if you're carrying more weight around your midsection, then this puts extra load on your lower back. You can visualize this if you think of your body being a tower of books. If you each have each book that is directly stacked one on top of the other, which is our body, then our tower or our body can stand really tall and strong. If we start to load the books slightly forward and shift them that little bit forward, so more weight is at the front of the tower, which happens when we start to gain weight, then the back or the top becomes weaker and the tower will topple forward due to the excess weight. Now, our body doesn't topple forward because our back muscles work extra hard to keep that weight up. Okay, so that's where the extra pressure is going through that lower back. If you think of that tower analogy and the weight being forward, well, for us, our back line of the body just goes, well, we've got to work extra hard then. There's more weight at the front. We've got to keep that upright. So all those muscles on the back clamp on and then just become really tight. So you can see that if we are maintaining a healthy weight and we're keeping that ideal posture, then we're not going to really load up those lower back muscles and we're going to keep a lot of the pressure off. So maintaining a healthy weight when we can is definitely going to be very beneficial for our lower back. Now, to help with maintaining that healthy weight, we want to look at eating a whole foods diet. We want to try and eliminate processed food that have lots of sugar in it. And then we also want to be eating lots of different colored fruits and vegetables. And we want to hydrate really well. Where we can, obviously eliminating alcohol is going to be beneficial as well. And we want to avoid smoking. Now, smoking and nicotine have been linked to a higher incidence of lower back pain, as the nicotine reduces the blood flow to your discs, which cushion the vertebrae, and that's what leads to degeneration. If there's not correct blood flow going through, then the vertebrae are going to degenerate quicker. Now, nicotine can also prevent the absorption of calcium, which is essential for creating strong bones. And this can leave your bones potentially more brittle and susceptible to developing osteoporosis. Now, coughing from smoking has also been linked to back pain also. So again, that extra pressure, if you've got weaker bones and then you're coughing, then it can, that's again, that final straw that happens and people can slip a disc and get that lower back pain. So as we all know, smoking is not great for our health at all in general, but it's also not great for our lower back as well. Now, treatment for lower back pain is going to be very individual, but looking at these different areas and working with a healthcare professional who has expertise in working in the rehab field and obviously with working with lower back pain, they can definitely help you create a plan to get you back to moving and getting rid of that pain. Generally, your plan may include massage or fascia release work that can help release tightness, or it may be a combination of those with exercises and movements that will help you build up your mobility and also your strength in your joints. Getting back to, you know, we were saying before, just those really functional daily movements and changing some of the lifestyle factors like sitting down for too long, making sure that we're exercising and moving can really make a great difference as well. You might also need to think about starting really slow and gradually building up to the number of reps or exercises that you're doing, or even the amount of, you know, daily activities as well. A lot of people that I work with in the studio, you know, they come in, they're in a lot of pain, but they're also scared. They're scared to be in that type of pain again, or even to feel worse pain than what they're already experiencing. So just being gentle with yourself, taking it really slow can make a big difference. And first and foremost, we do want to keep moving, but we just need to listen to our body too. So if we need to take a rest, you know, definitely taking a rest, but still getting that nice gentle movement going. Now, if you'd like more info on lower back pain, then tune into episode 26, where I discuss sciatica and how you can get relief for that, because that's a great episode to hear a little bit more about lower back pain too. But otherwise, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions regarding your lower back pain, you know, definitely reach out. I always love keeping the conversation going. So head on over to Facebook or Instagram at Mind Movement Health and tag me. Let me know that you've listened to this episode, and I'll see you again on the podcast next week. Thanks for listening into the podcast. Please hit subscribe to be updated for each time we release a new podcast.